force of terror, such as she might. His divine grace, Abhaya Charana, Abhaya Vidana, Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrindika Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shidwaita Gadadha, Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindika Jai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopi Gopinath, Shyam Kunda, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavanam Ki Jai, Mathuradham Ki Jai, Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai, Yamunamai Ki Jai, Srimati Lalasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari 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 Go. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya. Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Vacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Jeshatarani. So, Omagana Timiranda Shaganjana Shalakaya Takshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, we have 28 people online, but not too many in the classroom. Anyway, so we'll start with the screen sharing in a second. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading from the second chapter in the Majjalila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's final pastimes. Of course, this is just a summary description, and you're hearing a lot of different ecstatic symptoms that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So you can appreciate the exalted position of course, Lord Chaitanya. But not only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but all of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. And as I was saying yesterday to Prangovinda, that when I hear these things, of course they're very intimate descriptions, but when I hear these things, it increases my sense of reverence towards Krishna, Radha, and of course Radha and Krishna's dear devotees, like His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That's why it's described that no one should try to understand what's happening in the mind of a pure devotee, because these things are going on continually in the mind of a pure devotee. And that's why he had descriptions in verses like Acharyamam Viganyam Abhamanyeta Karichit Namachabudya Suyeta Sarvadeva Maya Guru, that one should not consider the Guru to be an ordinary person, Marcha. One should, that is a great offense. If one is considering the Guru to be an ordinary person, or the pure devotee to be an ordinary person, and one has seen that deity as made of stone or wood, one is possessed of hellish intelligence. So there's a lot going on beneath the surface
in the consciousness of these great personalities. And we're getting a brief glimpse beneath the surface by reading Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words that have been conveyed to us by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, by the mercy or through the mercy of Raghunath Das Goswami and Swarup Damodar Goswami. Okay, let's continue reading on that happy note. Tamara chapalamati ekatra naya hayastiti tate tamara nahi kichudosha. Whoops, I just got a message. Tumita karuna sindhu amara parana bandhu tumaya nahi mora kabu rosha. And so the translation is, my dear Krishna, your mind is always restless. You cannot remain in one place, but you are not at fault for this. You are actually the ocean of mercy, the friend of my heart. Therefore, I have no reason to be angry with you. So, you know, these conflicting emotions, it's like waves. A pure devotee, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just a pure devotee, but he's in the mood of a pure devotee, his best pure devotee, Srimati Radharani, who's not just a devotee. But anyway, she is the best devotee. So Lord Chaitanya is manifesting these waves. Sometimes there's humility, sometimes there's pride, sometimes there's anger, sometimes there's lamentation. It's just like waves in an ocean. Tuminata praja prana, vrjera kara paritrana, bahu karye nahi avakasha, tumi amara ramana, sukadite agamana, e tamara vaijagdag vilasa. Shoot, I don't know why people are calling me. The only reason they'd be calling me is if there's a problem hearing me on the... Let me just check to make sure we are online and people are able to hear me.
Looks like it's working. All right, we're live.
Yeah, people can hear me.
Let me just check to make sure we are online.
All right, people are hearing me. Okay, sorry about that. Let's read the translation for this verse. My dear Lord, you are the master in life and soul of Vrindavana. Kindly arrange for the deliverance of Vrindavana. We have no leisure hours away from our many activities. Actually, you are my enjoyer. You have appeared just to give me happiness, and this is one of your expert activities. Let's put this on mute. The word Vaidagya means one who is very expert, learned, humorous, cunning, beautiful, and skilled in manifesting caricatures. So, of course, that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is very expert in everything. All right. The audio is weak. Is everybody's audio weak or just Hrishikesh? All right, so let me increase the volume. Hold on a second. Audio settings. Yeah, somehow or other it got set real low. Now it should be really loud. Okay. The word Vaidagya means one who is very expert, learned, humorous, cunning, beautiful, and skilled in manifesting caricatures. In other words, Krishna is very humorous. Mora Bhakya Nandamani Krishna Chari Gela Jani Shuna Mora Estuti Vachana Nayanera Bhivrama Tumi mora dana prana, ha ha puna deha darashana. taking my words as defamation, Lord Krishna has left me. I know that he is gone, but kindly hear my prayers and praise. You are the satisfaction of my eyes. You are my wealth and my life. Alas, please give me your audience once again. Stamba kampa prasveda vaivarnya shru swarabeda deha haila pulaka vyapita hase kande nache gaya uti iti uti daya shane bhume padiya murchita. There were different transformations of the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being stunned, trembling, perspiring, fading away of color, weeping and choking of the voice. In this way, his whole body was pervaded by transcendental joy. As a result, sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would laugh, sometimes cry, sometimes dance, and sometimes sing. Sometimes he would get up and run here and there, and sometimes fall on the ground and lose consciousness. In Nibhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, eight kinds of transcendental changes taking place in the body are described. Of course, this is the Ashta Sattvika Bhavas. Stamba, being stunned, refers to the mind's becoming transcendentally absorbed. In that state, the peaceful mind is placed on the life air and different bodily transformations are manifest. These symptoms are visible in the body of an advanced devotee. When life becomes almost inactive, it is called stunned. The emotions resulting from this condition are joy, fear, astonishment, moroseness, and anger. And as you see, some of these are conflicting emotions, like joy and fear, moroseness and joy, anger and joy. So the body of a pure devotee is basically being, I wouldn't say being torn apart, because he has a spiritual body. That's why a pure devotee can never experience the highest extent of the ecstasy while living in this world, unless they are actually having simultaneous interactions on the spiritual plane. Oh, now I'm getting the comments too loud. Anyway, in this condition, the power of speech is lost, and there's no movement. can't please everybody. No movement of the hands and legs. Otherwise, being stunned is a mental condition. Many other symptoms are visible on the entire body. In the beginning, they are very subtle, but gradually they become very apparent. When one cannot speak, naturally one's active senses are arrested, and the knowledge-acquiring senses are rendered inoperative. Wow. So active senses means, you know, like your hands and your mouth and things, those are active. Knowledge-acquiring means like the eyes, the ears, etc., and the sense of touch. Trembling of the body is mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a result of a special kind of fear, anger, and joy. This is called vipatu, or kampa. When the body begins to perspire because of joy, fear, and anger combined, this is called sveda. Vaivarnya is described as a change in the bodily color. Vaivarnya vipatu. Yeah. Actually, we find in the prayers of Bhaktivedanta Thakur, when will I experience these emotions, especially in his poem, Kabe Habe Bolo Se Dinamar, when will this day be mine? So we should hanker for those symptoms, not try to imitate them prematurely, but hanker for when they actually manifest naturally in our consciousness. Vaivarnya is described as a change in the bodily color. It is caused by a combination of moroseness, anger, and fear. When these emotions are experienced, the complexion turns pale and the body becomes lean and thin. Ashru is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a combination of joy, anger, and moroseness that causes water to flow from the eyes without effort. When there is joy and there are tears in the eyes, the temperature of the tears is cold. but when there is anger, the tears are hot. In both cases, the eyes are restless and the eyeballs are red and there is itching. These are all symptoms of ashru. When there is a combination of moroseness, astonishment, anger, joy, and fear, there is choking in the voice. This choking is called gadgada. And of course, that is actually in the Shikshashtra, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in the next sentence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refers to gadgada rudya gira, or as a faltering voice. In Nibhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, pulaka is described as joy, also means standing of the hair on end. Encouragement and fear. When these combine, the hairs in the body stand on end. Oh yes, and this bodily state is called pulaka. So all these are described perfectly in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami, which has been translated as the Nectar of Devotion by Sri Bhangari Srila Prabhupada. Murchya haila hasat shaktkara utikare hun huhunkara kahe e aila mahashaya Krishnera madhuri gundade nana brahma haya mante shloka padi kraye nischaya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thus unconscious, he happened to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, he got up and immediately made a tumultuous sound, very loudly declaring, "Now Krishna, the great personality, is present." In this way, because of Krishna's sweet qualities, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made different types of mistakes in his mind. Thus, by reciting the following verse, he ascertained the presence of Lord Krishna. Mara swayam nu madura jyuti mandalam nu madhuryam eva nu mano nayanam ritam nu venim rajonu mama jivita vallabo nu krishno yam abhyudyate mama lochanaya. In the attitude of Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed the gopis. My dear friends, has Krishna, Cupid personified, who has the effulgence of a kadamba flower, who is sweetness itself, the nectar of my eyes and mind, he who loosens the hair of the gopis, who is the supreme source of transcendental bliss in my life and soul, has that Krishna come before my eyes again? Of course, this is another verse from the Krishna Karnamrita by Bilva Mangal Thakur, verse 68. Akiba he sakshat kama jyuti bimba murtiman ki madhurya swayam murtimanta kiva mano netrotsava kiva prana balabha Satcha Krishna Haila Nitrananda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began to talk like this. Is Cupid personified present with the effulgence and reflection of the Kadamba tree? Is he the same person, personified sweetness, who is the pleasure of my eyes and mind, who is my life and soul? Has Krishna actually come before my eyes? So here you have intense hankering, expectation there. Now, I just want to mention that one of the reasons that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is talking about these things, basically towards the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually it's the beginning of the middle, is that he is afraid. What is he afraid of? That he will not live long enough to complete the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because he's quite old. It's like in the 80s, and he can hardly see. He's trembling all the time. And so he's very much concerned, so he wants to give a brief summary of this last part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, so one can understand the transcendental mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the feeling of separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, because Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, So it really helps us understand to a certain extent the position of Srimati Radharani. And not exactly that we can understand Srimati Radharani, but we can understand her position, her dedication, her unalloyed love, her self-surrender, her willingness to please Krishna no matter what is required, and even her conflicting moods that are very pleasing to Krishna. Guru Nana Baba Gana Shishya Prabhu Ratanu Mana Nana Rite Satata Nachaya Nirveda Vishada Dainya Chapalya Shadarya Manju Enriche Prabhura Kalayaya. As the spiritual master chastises the disciple and teaches him the art of devotional service, so all the ecstatic symptoms of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, including despondency, moroseness, humility, restlessness, joy, endurance, and anger, instructed his body and mind in this way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed his time. Just 1 second, I have to take care of something. Text 77. We're almost finished with this particular chapter. I think about another 20 verses. Chandidasa Vidyapati Rayera Nataka Giti Karnamrita Sri Gita Govinda Sadupa Ramananda Sane Mahaprabhu Ratri Dane Gayashune Parama Ananda. He also passed his time reading the books and singing the songs of Chandidas and Vidyapati, listening to quotations from the Jagannath Ballabha Nataka. And of course, the Jagannath Ballabha Nataka was written by Ramananda Roy, Krishna Karnamrita, that's written by Bilba Mangal Thakur, and Gita Govinda, written by Jayadev Goswami. I think I told the story about the Gita Govinda. I'll tell you in a second. Thus, in the association of Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed his days and nights chanting and hearing with great pleasure. So, while Jayadeva Goswami was writing the Gita Govinda, in his mind came the idea of writing a particular verse that Krishna bows down at the lotus feet of Radharani. And then Jayadeva Goswami thought, this is not appropriate. Krishna's God. So he thought, I better go take a bath and then take prasad. So he told his wife, I'm going to take a bath and then take prasad. So his wife started preparing prasad, and then he went to take a bath. In the meantime, Krishna took the form of Jayadeva Goswami, came back and completed that verse and took prasad and then disappeared. And then the real Jayadeva Goswami came back and he said to his wife, where is prasad? And his wife, Padmavati, said, what do you mean? You just ate. And she said, not only did you just eat, but you wrote in your book, you know, you completed some sort of verse, which I didn't read. And then he went to his book and he saw that Krishna had completed that verse. And that verse is part of the Gita Govinda. Another interesting story about the Gita Govinda is once upon a time, the king of Puri had made his own Gita Govinda. So he was thinking, my Gita Govinda is better than Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda. And there was a whole conflict. And they were thinking, how do we solve a conflict? Well, put both versions in front of the deities. And then close the curtains, put the deities to rest. So what happened the next morning? They opened up the curtains and the king's so-called Gita Govinda was like strewn all over the place. The pages were strewn all over the place, probably ripped or something. And Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda was clasped to Lord Jagannath's chest. So it was obvious which one Lord Jagannath preferred. You know, it's a very wonderful story about the Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda is such a wonderful book. It was appreciated even by the Mughals, the Muslims, and they published different editions of the Gita Govinda that were illustrated in different ways. I mean, just amazing, amazing, amazing work. Okay. Purira Vatsaya Mukhya Ramanante Rashuda Sakya Govindadye Rashuda Dasharasa Gadadhara Jagadananda Srupera Mukhya Rasananda Echaribhave Prabhu Vasha. Among his associates, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed paternal loving affection from Paramananda Puri, friendly affection with Ramananda Roy, unalloyed service from Govinda and others, and humors of conjugal love with Gadadhara, Jagadananda, and Swarup Damodar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed all these four mellows, and thus he remained obliged to his devotees. So, maybe we should go back. Actually, the purport explains these things. Paramananda Puri is said to have been Uddhava in Vrindavana. His affections with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were on the platform of paternal love. This is because Paramananda Puri happened to be the godbrother of the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, godbrother of Ishwara Puri. Similarly, Ramananda Roy was considered an incarnation of Arjuna, and by some an incarnation of Vishakha Devi, enjoyed unalloyed fraternal love with the Lord. Unalloyed personal service was enjoyed by Govinda and others. In the presence of his most confidential devotees like Gadadhara Pandit, Jagadananda, and Swarup Damodar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed the ecstatic conditions of Srimati Radharani in her conjugal relationship with Krishna. Absorbed in these four transcendental mellows, what four are we talking about? Dasha, servitude, Sakya, friendship, Vatsalya, parental relationship, and ultimately Madhurya, the conjugal relationship. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really experienced, manifested activities and consciousness within these three or four different mellows. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided in Jagannath Puri, feeling very much obliged to his devotees. Lila Shuka Marchajana Tanrahaya Bhavodgama Ishvare Sekiha Vishmaya Tahi Mukya Rasashaya Haiya Chena Mahashaya Tatehaya Sarva Bhavodaya. Lila Shuka Bilva Mangal Thakur was an ordinary human being, yet he developed many ecstatic symptoms in his body. What then is so astonishing about these symptoms being manifest in the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? In the ecstatic mood of conjugal love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the highest platform. Therefore, all the exuberant ecstasies were naturally visible in his body. And actually, we told the story about Lila Shukar Bilva Mangal Thakur yesterday, but we'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lila Shukas Bilva Mangala Thakur Goswami. He was a South Indian, a Brahmana, and his former name was Shilhana Mishra. When he was a householder, he became attracted to a prostitute named Chintamani. Well, I guess someone has to go to a prostitute, should be named Chintamani. But eventually he took her advice and became renounced. We talked about that, how he crossed over a river, climbed a fence in the rain, grabbed hold of a dead body to cross the river, grabbed hold of a snake to climb over the fence, was completely disheveled, torn, bleeding. And when he came to Chintamani's door, she was so shocked, she said, if you had as much devotion for Krishna, you would be a pure devotee. And he took a hint from Chintamani and said, you are right. And then on the way to Vrindavan, he became attracted by another lady and he put out his eyes so he would not succumb to that attraction again. So in other words, he was Kripa Siddha. He was given special mercy by the Supreme Lord because he went to Vrindavan. He was greeted by the Lord, who personally fed him and held his hand. Wow. Thus he wrote a book named Shanti Shataka, and later by the mercy of Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas, he became a great devotee. In other words, there's hope for us. Thus he became famous as Bilvamangala Thakur Goswami. On that elevated platform, he wrote a book named Krishna Karnamrita, which is very famous amongst Vaishnavas. Since he exhibited so many ecstatic symptoms, people used to call him Ila Shuka, the enjoyer of pastimes. Let's talk about this word Leela for a second. Leela means activities that are done joyfully and voluntarily, not activities that you're forced to do. For example, every night I'm forced to take rest. That's not my Leela. And I'm forced to do so many things just by a dint of having this material body. That's not a Leela. Leela means things apart and beyond the modes of material nature that no one is forced to do, but in this material world, everyone is forced to act hopelessly, helplessly, due to the impulses born of the three modes of nature, nehikaschit shadam abhijata tishtati akarmakrit, karyate yavasar karma, sarva prakriti jaguna. Everyone is forced to act helplessly. And we're thinking, oh, I'm feeling morose, I'm feeling happy. But it's the modes of nature. Just like sometimes we see that the moon, which controls the mind, goes through different phases, and people get affected according to the phases of the moon. Oh my God. When it's the full moon, basically, so many people get affected that I just hide myself from everybody else. Not that I'm affected, but I'm scared of everybody else. Anyway, that's a joke. So, it's a fact. You can actually see that when there's a full moon, the mental institutions become fuller. Purve braja vilase yetina abhilashe yatneha ashvarana hayela shiradhara babasara apane kare angikara seitina vastu ashvadila. Okay. During his previous pastimes in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna desired to enjoy the three different types of ecstasy, but despite great endeavor, he could not taste them. Such ecstasies are the monopoly of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in order to taste them, Sri Krishna accepted the position of Srimati Radharani in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Three types of ecstasy were the Anubhava, Satvita Bhava, and Vyavachari Bhava. Anubhava means the ecstasy that follows, voluntary. Sattvika means the constitutional ecstasy. There's eight of those, and there's 33 of the intermittent, uncontrollable ecstasies, which are called the Vyabhachari Bhavas. And when they get really intense, they're called Sanchari Bhavas. Anyway, study of nectar devotion if you're interested in that. Apane kari ashvatane shikaye la bhaktakane prema chintama nira prabhudani nahi jani stana stana agyare tare kailatana mahaprabhu datta shiromadi. By personally tasting the mellows of love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his direct disciples the process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a wealthy capitalist possessing the touchstone of love of God. Not considering whether one is proper or improper recipient, he gives his treasure to anyone and everyone. Thus, he is the most munificent. I'd like to get that treasure. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's capital is the touchstone of love of God, and consequently, he is the great owner of that transcendental treasure. After making unlimited amounts of gold, the touchstone remains the same. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although distributing love of God unlimitedly, still remains the supreme owner of this transcendental opulence. His devotees who learned it from him also had to distribute it munificently all over the world. That's our duty. This Krishna consciousness movement, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his confidential devotees, is also trying to distribute love of God at all over the world through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. E Gupta Bhava Sindhu, Brahmanapaya Ekabindu, Hinadana Vilaila Samsare, Ache Dayalu Avatara, Achidata Nahiara, Gunakeha Nare, Vanibare. No one, not even Lord Brahma, can ascertain or even taste the drop of this confidential ocean of ecstasy. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, has distributed this love of Godhead all over the world. Thus, there cannot be any incarnation more munificent than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no greater donor. Who can describe his transcendental qualities? Kahibara katanahi, kahile keha nabushahi, aiche chitra chitanyera ranga, se se bushate pare, titanyera kripayandre, hoyatandra dasanu dasasanga. Such topics are not to be discussed freely, because if they are, no one will understand them. Such are the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unto one who is able to understand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown mercy by giving him the association of the servant of his servant, of his own servant. An ordinary person cannot understand the transcendental ecstasies in the mode of Srimati Radharani. Unfit persons who try to understand them are perverted into the Sahajya, Vola, and other sampradayas. Thus the teachings are perverted. Even learned scholars in the academic field cannot understand the transcendental bliss and ecstasy exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotees. One must be fit to understand the purport of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Chaitanya Lila Ratnasara Srupara Bandhara Teno Tuila Raghunathera Kante Tahan Kichuye Shuni Lun Tahahi han vistari lun bhakti gane nilune bete. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the topmost of jewels, they've been kept in the storehouse of Sarup Damodar Goswami, who has explained them to Raghunath Das Goswami, who has repeated them to me. This is what I talked about before. Whatever little I have learned from Raghunath Das Goswami, I have described in this book, which is presented to all the devotees. All the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were noted by his personal secretary, Sarup Damodar, repeated to Raghunath Das Goswami, who memorized them. Whatever Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami heard is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is called the Parampara system, from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sarup Damodar to Raghunath Das Goswami to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has distributed this information in his book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In other words, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the essence of the instruction given through the Parampara system of the disciplic succession stemming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As I mentioned many times before, Raghunath Das Goswami would recite every day about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for about 2 or 3 hours, and he stayed very close to where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was staying, at the Manasapavana Ghat at Shaimakund. So they were neighbors. Practically, they stayed next to each other. Yadikeha henaikaya ganta gaila shlokamaya itara jane narive vushite prabhura ye acharana se kari varnana sarvachita nari aradite. If one says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of Sanskrit verses and therefore not understandable by a common man, I reply that what I have described are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that for me to satisfy everyone is not possible. And we'll finish up with this purport, even though we're almost finished with this chapter. Finish the chapter tomorrow. Srila Kaviraj Goswami and one who follows in his footsteps do not have to cater to the public. Their business is simply to satisfy the previous acharyas and describe the pastimes of the Lord. One who is able to understand can relish the exalted transcendental literature, which is actually not meant for ordinary persons like scholars and literary men. Generally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes recorded in the Chaitanya Charitamrita are studied in universities and scholastic circles from a literary and historical point of view, but actually, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not a subject matter for research workers or literary scholars. It is simply meant for those devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we will end our reading here with the 85th verse. We did 69 to 85 today, and tomorrow we will finish up this chapter. So now we'll take some questions from you all. Okay, we'll just go back to our normal view instead of the classroom view, which is the speaker view. Whoops. It's gallery view. I need to see everybody. Okay, so actually I have to unmute you first. Give me a second. Who has a question? Does anybody have a question?
I have a question.
Okay, sure. Ask a question.
So from the last sentence of that purport, why did Srila Prabhupada want these books in universities? He wanted them used as textbooks. He was happy when they were used as textbooks.
Because these books are also transcendental seeds that they actually are not understandable by mundane scholars, or as we say sometimes, mundane squalors. I got that expression from Garuda Prabhu, mundane squalors. But when people come in contact with them, even though they can't understand them, because they're coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada, the disciplic succession, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they get the bhakti lata bij planted in their hearts. And by getting the bhakti lata bij planted in their hearts, they will eventually become devotees, because Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada, his great devotee, are so merciful that they take a chance, even though we have the 10 offenses against chanting, one of which says to actually speak about these sorts of things before those who are envious is prohibited. Even though we have that, the pure devotees and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are more merciful and they take a chance. Anyway, we find so many people, when they do pick up this book, they do start to appreciate Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Even we have scholars like Professor Stilson Judah, who you're probably familiar with, who became a devotee. I mean, some stories that they discovered when they went to Stilson Judah's basement, they discovered a full-blown altar to Krishna there. And that was simply coming in contact with Prabhupada, reading some of his books, because his books are like touchstones, even though they cannot understand it. I mean, I'll give you an example. Okay, here's an example in my own humble life. Once upon a time, there was a Rakshasa, and he was called Rakshasa. His name was Rakshasa, and he was born in a Rakshasa family in America. And this Rakshasa, this Rakshasa, when he had finished with his university education, he decided he wanted to drive a taxi because he didn't want to work in the normal world. And so this Rakshasa was one day given a Krishna book by another Rakshasa. So this is a story of two Rakshasas. So another Rakshasa gave this Rakshasa, Rakshasa Kumbhakarna gave Ravana, whatever, gave him a Krishna book. And he read the Krishna book, And he read the story, this Rakshasa read the story about, what did he read the story about? Krishna stealing butter and feeding it to the monkeys. So this Rakshasa did not understand a word of that. But because this Rakshasa had, he had a good sense of imagination, he actually saw in his mind's eye a little blue boy stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys. And so then after that, this Rakshasa started to have dreams every night about a little blue boy stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys. So this Rakshasa thought, I am going crazy. And then this Rakshasa started chanting Hare Krishna somehow or other. And then this Rakshasa wandered in, this is years before this Rakshasa joined the Hare Krishna movement. This Rakshasa wandered into a Hare Krishna temple in Gainesville, Florida. Not Hare Krishna temple. He wandered into someone's house in Gainesville, Florida, where they were serving prasadam. And there was a someone named Gargamuni Swami there and David Lieberman, who later on became Amarendra. And then he was given some prasad. And then the Rakshasa went back to his Rakshasa ways. And then after a while, the Rakshasa visited a Hare Krishna temple with two Rakshasa friends. And then the Rakshasa got burnt out at the temple because they told him he was going to hell. So the Rakshasa decided not to go to any more Hare Krishna temples because they were just fanatic. So the Rakshasa stayed away from the devotees for 2 years. And then the Rakshasa heard that his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, was coming to where he was. And so the Rakshasa shaved off his hair and his beard, and he surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. And the Rakshasa became happy instead of a hippie. So that's all from reading Prabhupada's books without understanding them. And really, if we can really be honest with everybody, I mean, how many of us really understand Prabhupada's books to this day? I mean, yes, we know we're not the body, yeah. But you hear about all these symptoms of ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these conflicting symptoms. I mean, how many of us really have a deep understanding of these things? But we keep on reading and we get purified. Cheto darpana marjanam, bhava mahadvalakni nirvapanam. This chanting of the Lord's holy names and the recitation of Krishna Katha cleanses the mirror of the heart. Whoops, I should get closer to you all. The better to see you all. So anyway, so it cleanses the mirror of the heart. So whatever reason one has for coming in contact with a pure devotee, as long as one doesn't commit offenses, which is a danger when one is a scholar. Fortunately, this Rakshasa was not a scholar. At least he wasn't a literary scholar. He was a scientific scholar. So he was actually innocent. He wasn't like a mental speculator, that type of mental speculator. He was a scientist Rakshasa. What was his name? His name was, Dr. Frankenstein. Anyway, so this, I know I'm being humble like I normally am. So the point is that whatever reason one comes in touch with Krishna, it's like a touchstone. You come in touch with a touchstone, you turn to gold. So Prabhupada said he's turning hippies to happies or rakshasas to devotees. And so I have faith in this process of hearing and transcendental sound. And that was Prabhupada's intention. Not only for the professors, but Prabhupada's intention was that some students would pick up the books, which actually happened. So many of the students picked up the books, and some of the professors recommended the students study the books in their class, and many of those people became devotees. The whole point is, if you want to make devotees, of course we can't make devotees, the whole point is, if we want to bring people to Krishna consciousness, we have to engage them somehow or other in one of the nine processes of devotional service. There is no other way. If you simply convince someone by argumentation, it doesn't work. You have to engage them in one of the nine processes of devotional service, beginning with shravanam, hearing, chanting, remembering. And of course, those are the easiest ones. I mean, then you got serving the lotus feet. And certainly we don't engage people in the beginning in archanam. Of course, Prabhupada was expert. He wanted devotees to distribute Gauranatai deities and call them happy dolls, and have people do a sort of offering of incense to those happy dolls. And so Prabhupada even wanted to engage the non-devotees, the aspiring devotees, or people who hadn't realized they were devotees. He wanted to engage them in archanam. That's pretty amazing. So that's why we invite people to the temple. I mean, actually, it's an offense to worship the deity. If you look at the deity worship list of offenses, it's an offense to worship the deities in front of non-devotees. Yep. But Prabhupada, being more merciful, would invite people, non-devotees, into the temple. I mean, sometimes we got to be careful. Like one time I invited... Well, let's get back to the story about the Rakshasa. This Rakshasa invited his mother into the temple to see the deities in New York one time. And his mother said, "You should put your father on the altar instead of that Krishna." So sometimes it's not a good idea when people are not ready. Okay, so here's some more questions. Isn't convincing them philosophically, hearing, not if they have a challenging attitude? You can't, first of all, what I've experienced is that every time I have a, yes, if they don't have a challenging attitude, if you can get them to the point, like Prabhupada said, actually, here's a quote from Prabhupada. He said, "What is the use of your lecture if they don't surrender or give something or do some service?" I'm paraphrasing right here. My personal experience is that if someone's innocent, then when you apply some philosophy, I don't want to talk about convincing them philosophically. We have this whole idea that we beat someone to the pulp philosophically, and it doesn't work. They tried it on me, and look, I'm still not a devotee. Didn't work. We have to really engage people. The whole point, our strategy, I mean, of course, yes, we can defeat people philosophically. We're doing a big presentation in front of 100 people, then we just like wipe them out. Just to show, you know, we got it. We got what it takes, as they say. But Prabhupada said, if you defeat, let's say, we were talking about this with a devotee the other day. If you defeat a Christian, then they will actually become sometimes atheistic, and it won't accomplish anything. So you got to be really careful when you apply philosophy. If you see someone as submissive, that's why you have to be careful. You have to understand who you're talking to, when you're talking to, what their consciousness is like. I don't think I've ever convinced someone philosophically by arguing with them and had them surrender to Krishna. I don't think it's ever happened to me. What I see is that I presented Krishna consciousness in an attractive fashion, and they decide to become devotees, and I'm able to address their doubts. Philosophies, I'm able to address their doubts. but I've never really been able to smash them in such a way that they actually surrendered in the whole history of my devotional service. I mean, maybe someone has. All glories, all glories, all glories to your ability. But I've seen that I try to understand where someone is at, and then I use philosophy to try to get them to engage in the 9 processes of devotional service. That's what Prabhupada wants. And Prabhupada said, what is the use of your lecture unless they surrender, or, you know, I will give a donation or surrender or somehow or other engage in devotional service. Starting with chanting the holy names. I mean, that's the whole point. You can argue until your face is blue. That's interesting. You can argue until your face is blue, and then what is the goal? But we have to attract people. I mean, people trying to convince me philosophically, the Rakshasa philosophically, drove him out away from the movement. It didn't make me more receptive, because it didn't address my need for making my own decisions in life. I mean, perhaps if you're dealing with someone who doesn't have too much philosophical acumen, a sense of autonomy, someone who is really regressed, I mean, sure. But will that person actually stay? Will that person actually be determined? A person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, as they say. So I think we have to be really careful about this philosophical conversion. You know, if we can convince them, let's see, here's some questions. Yes, Gopal says we need to listen to someone where their consciousness is before we attempt to. I don't want to use the word convince. I mean, maybe I'm a little new agey here. I would say share Krishna consciousness with them. Convince, to me, it just has that air of the soapbox preacher. I would say deal with their doubts. I can't convince anyone. It's Krishna in the heart who brings people to Krishna consciousness. I mean, for me to think, you know, I made a devotee, then I'm really Dr. Frankenstein. Isn't it? Yeah. I made him a devotee. I made her a devotee. No. I was an instrument in bringing that person to Krishna consciousness. And yes, I used philosophy to address some of their need. I understood their needs. I understood where they were at. And then I presented the philosophy. I maybe addressed their doubts. And I engaged someone in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada would do that. I mean, someone would come to Prabhupada. He'd give them engagement immediately. You say, oh, you know how to type? Great! Here's my manuscripts. Type them out. So, you know how to paint? Okay, here's a paintbrush. Paint. You know how to do music? All right, do music. The people have to be engaged, be given responsibility, and somehow or other, do something for Krishna, especially chanting. Chanting is the beginning. Shravanam, adhering. Here's the quote. Okay, thank you very much, Prangovinda Maharaj. That's funny. Prangovinda wannabe Maharaj. Anyway, so here's the quote. Prabhupada said, did they chant Hare Krishna? Did they give you a donation? Did they take a book? Did they honor prasadam? And Prabhupada said, what is the value of the preaching? They did not do of the any of the above. Prabhupada was really strong about that, because to engage them, even eating prasadam is engaging them. Hearing about Krishna, of course, is engaging them. But we have this whole idea of preaching. Even the word preaching sort of like irks me at this point in my devotional service. I ain't a preacher. I am a Rakshasa. No, I am not a Rakshasa, hopefully, anymore. I am Krishna's instrument. Jivara Svarupahoy Nitya Krishna Das. I'm simply trying to share the mercy that my guru has given me with others and try to be loving with others. And kumbaya. Okay, looks like someone's going to sleep. We should stick him in the bottom of the heap.
Hey.
Okay, all right. So I think we have to end now because it is time for my bedtime. And thank you all very much. I don't want to go on any longer because it is time to call it an end. Happy trails to you. So anyway, so we'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. Tomorrow I will be traveling, but I will still be online at the same time, traveling. Okay.